Thank you for utterance. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for boldness. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, how many of you had a good weekend? Praise the Lord. So did I. We begin talking at the beginning of the term about our 26 biblical reasons, our infallible proofs, why we are sure it is God's will for all to be healed today. Amen. See, that's your job as a minister in the area of healing. God might use you, you know, in special manifestations and a special anointing, gifts of healings, working of miracles, word of knowledge, whatever the case might be. He might use you in laying on of hands and exercising your authority over disease in the name of Jesus. And all of that is scriptural and all of that is right. But your foremost, your main area of duty in ministering to folk is going to be teaching them from the Word of God that it is God's will for them to be healed. Elsewise, if all you do is operate in some of these other areas, you will, in many cases, only be bringing them temporary relief and temporary help. Thank God for that. But we want people to be helped permanently. We want them to be able to grasp hold of the blessing of God for themselves and then go on to grow up in Him and to take the truth to somebody else so that the kingdom is spread and that they're not just always dependent on us, you know, to minister to them, but they learn how to just receive for themselves and they learn how to go out and minister to someone who's younger than they. And that's the way the kingdom of God spreads and spreads and grows larger and larger. We don't want to do anything that'll keep people in a babyhood stage of development in faith dependent upon us. Amen? Now, when people are babies, they legitimate babies, they are dependent on the older ones. Isn't that right? I mean, isn't the baby legitimately dependent upon mom and dad? I mean, but you don't expect anything out of babies. But babies should grow up, shouldn't they? If babies don't grow up, there's something really wrong. There's a real problem there. They should grow up and begin to learn how to receive and to eat for themselves and to exercise for themselves and to dress themselves. And so it is spiritually. And the way you're going to help people, your first and foremost duty in the ministry of healing is that you learn how to teach people from the Word of God and convince them and build faith into them that it is God's will for them to be healed now. And so that's why we're giving you this arsenal of spiritual weaponry against the devil's device of sickness and disease. Now, reason number three was the one we left off with, isn't that right? Reason number three, we talked about God's will under the old covenant, how that if He wanted, it was His will for His servants to live out their full length of time down here below without sickness and disease. Would He want any less for His sons? Well, of course not. And as you know, the Bible says, Hebrews 8:6, we have a better covenant established upon better promises. And we established that and saw that from the Scripture. And now I'd like for us to go to reason number four. We are sure that it is God's will for all to be healed today because, reason number four, sickness is a part of the curse of the law. Sickness is a part of the curse of the law. Reason number four, we're sure it's God's will for all to be healed today because sickness is a part of the curse of the law. Go with me to Galatians, the third chapter, and let's look at the 13th chapter. Excuse me, 13th verse. Third chapter, 13th verse. Now, I assume that probably most of you have heard some teaching along this line, but don't just assume that you've heard it all. Don't tune me out until we get to another reason, okay? Because if you do, you're going to miss some very valuable and important things. How many of you know that you have not exhausted all the light from any one verse of Scripture yet? Amen. Nor shall you ever exhaust and glean and drain all the light and revelation from any one verse of Scripture because it's alive. And see, as you grow and develop, you can see things more clearly. You should be able to see more light and understand better and be more, you know, have more revelation flow to you today when you hear about sickness being a part of the curse of the law than when you heard it for the first time. Because you've grown some since then. Or you should have. Amen? And so you can see more, you can understand it better. You get more light out of it. And the better you can understand it, the more simply you can present it to people. Not the more you understand it, the more complicated and complex your presentation is. Are you listening? I said the more you understand it, the more simply you'll be able to present it. When people come across real complicated and complex, I can tell you this, they don't understand it very well themselves. Are you listening? When it comes across and the majority of the crowd goes away thinking that it's real complicated and it's real complex, I can just tell you this, it wasn't clear to the individual trying to teach it. They weren't clear on it, and it wasn't simple to them. They were having a tough time getting a hold of it. And as a minister, you need to let things boil in you and gel in you until you see them in their simplicity. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, I would not that you would be removed from the simplicity that is in Christ. When revelation comes, it's always simple. Always. How many of you saw light from Scripture and you almost wanted to kick yourself and said, man, that's so simple. I mean, why didn't I see that before now? Well, that's the way it always is. And when it comes across complex and complicated, then man's thinking is involved in that, and it's not just revelation and a pure flow of light, you see. Now, in Galatians, the third chapter, let's look at verse 13. It says this, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Those are some very marvelous words, entailing a great deal. That Christ hath, not going to, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, we see from this scripture that we've been redeemed from something, and that something being called the curse of the law. Now, you'll find as you go out to minister to folk, you can't just assume that they know what you know. Because it wasn't so very long ago, you didn't know what you know. Amen? And you need to be very patient with people if they don't see things that you see, because there are year after year after year that you did not see what you now see. Amen? And so when you start talking about people being redeemed, you can't just assume that they know what you're talking about, because many, many people are not going to have the slightest idea what you mean when you say we're redeemed. They don't even know what the word redeemed means, and they don't know what they've been redeemed from. Now, the word redeemed, as you probably know, it means to buy back. To buy back or to purchase from. We were bought back from servitude and slavery to Satan and to his law of sin and death. We were purchased back from something, and we were purchased from and bought back from and redeemed from the curse of the law. The Bible says that Christ hath redeemed us. If you go to 1 Peter very quickly, 1 Peter, and notice the first chapter, it tells us the thing that God used to redeem us with. 1 Peter chapter 1 says in verse 18, 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. So in other words, we were not bought with money, with silver and gold. Silver and gold was not valuable enough to buy us back. You ever thought about that? How much are you worth? Not somebody else. How much are you worth? $1,000? $1,000,000? Would you give $1 billion for you? That's a bunch of money. You could buy a lot of things with $1 billion, couldn't you? Buy a lot of property, a lot of buildings, a lot of automobiles, a lot of business. You could get into a lot of things with $1 billion. Would you give $1 billion for you? Some folk wouldn't. You might not. But listen, God gave a lot more than that for you. Money couldn't buy you. The next time the devil comes and he says, you're worthless, you're no good, you just remember how much God the Father paid for you. He must figure you're pretty valuable. I said, God must think you're pretty valuable. He must think you're worth something because He paid the most precious substance in all time and eternity and universe for you. You are not redeemed with silver and gold, verse 19, but, in other words, but you were and are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. What is the most precious thing in all time and eternity? Life. I said life. I mean, the richest man in the world. I heard a testimony one time about an individual, a story about an individual who was a multimillionaire in a time when, you know, if you had $1 million, it'd be like being a multi-billionaire today. And they were very, very wealthy. And the doctor said, you'll be dead in just a few days. And they grasped hold of the doctor and they said, doctor, I'll give you, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars if you can just give me another day. If you can just give me another day. But he couldn't. Life is precious, isn't it? You can't buy life with money. You can't buy it with silver and gold. And Leviticus tells us that the life of the flesh is in the blood. Amen? And guess whose life was in Jesus' blood? The life of God, His Father. Amen? The life of God was in the blood of Jesus. And that life, the Zoe life of God, is the most precious, the most valuable thing in all time and eternity is life. Without life, there is no existence. Nothing can exist without life, and nothing can be. Nothing can exist. And yet, the Father poured out every drop of that blood that contained life. He poured out His life, in other words, through the vehicle of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for you and for me, because we were so valuable and are so valuable and precious in His sight. And why did He pay that for us? Because we were sold unto sin and unto death and slavery to Satan. We were sold to it. We were sold under the curse of the law, and Jesus paid the price. God the Father paid the price of Jesus' blood to buy us from, to redeem us from the curse of the law. Well, now, if God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ went to such great lengths to do this, then we need to know what we're bought back from. We need to know what we're free from, what we're redeemed from, because if we don't, even though legally we've been purchased from it, the devil will still try to lord it over us. You see, when you looked up from the pit of sin one day and decided to receive Jesus as the Lord of your life, up until that time, Satan was Lord of your life. He was your father, your spiritual father, and he was Lord of your life. And when you rejected him and received Jesus, he's resented that every day since. And he wants to rule and reign over you just like he always did, and he will, unless you have some power stronger than his to resist him with. Amen? And it's the truth that you know that sets you free. And if you don't know the truth about your being redeemed from the curse of the law, then the lies of Satan will hold you bound in the curse of the law, even though legally you're free from it. Legally you're free from it. But experientially, you'll be in it. You'll be bound to it. You have to know what you've been set free from, and the truth of knowing and believing that and acting on that truth will set you free from it. So we need to see what the curse of the law is. And this, you'll have to be telling people this from now on. Telling them what the curse of the law is, what it is they're redeemed from, so that they'll know. When you start saying this, now remember this. After you've walked in the light of some of these things for some years now, you'll get to thinking everybody knows this. Oh, you know, we're redeemed from the curse of the law. Everybody knows that. Are you kidding me? It's a very small percentage of Christians know. that they're redeemed from the curse of the law. And most of them need to hear it a whole bunch more so that they start walking in the light of it. Amen? No, don't you think, get to thinking that people know this. Don't, when you get up before people, don't you assume that they know anything. You be led by the Spirit of God. And if the Spirit of God says, teach them, you know, John 3:16, that God loved them so much that He sent Jesus to die for them. You say, well, they know that. Listen, you don't know more than the Holy Ghost. If the Holy Ghost says, teach on that, you teach on it like they've never heard it before, because there are people that have never heard it before. That'll be the first time for them. Amen? And so you teach what the curse of the law is, and how people have been redeemed from it. Don't let it get old to you. Keep it new and alive and fresh in you. And don't ever assume that people already know it. Speak it like they're hearing it for the first time, because many of them shall be hearing it for the first time. Aren't you glad somebody, even though they had known it maybe for years, Brother Hagin had been walking in the light of it for years and years and years, that he still kept preaching it again and again, and you heard it one time. It was the first time you had ever heard it. He might have preached it, you know, 1,000 times. It's the first time you heard it. Aren't you glad that he and other ministers like him and other ministers of the gospel didn't say, well, you know, everybody knows it now. I mean, everybody knows it. We've been preaching it for 50 years. Got to know it. And stopped. You wouldn't have heard it. There was a time you heard it for the first time, but it wasn't the first time that minister had heard it. They might have preached it 1,000 times. Amen? Remember that. Don't ever think that you stop teaching on these basics. This is the backbone of people's faith in these areas, you see. Now, what is the curse of the law? The curse of the law was and is the penalty for breaking God's commandments. The curse of the law is the penalty for breaking God's commands and His statutes and His ordinance. Now, the curse is a retribution or punishment for sin and disobedience. The curse is retribution or punishment for sin and disobedience. Now, remember this. The curse is not a blessing in disguise or otherwise. The curse is the curse is the curse. Once a curse, always a curse. Never does a curse stop being a curse and start being a blessing. A blessing is a blessing is a blessing. Never does a blessing stop being a blessing and start being a curse. You ever heard the phrase, blessing in disguise? Well, you know, sometimes it's true, we don't recognize God's blessings right away. And sometimes we might think something is a bad thing and it turns out to be a good thing. But listen, if God says something is a curse, it is a curse. It'll always be a curse, and it will never, ever be a blessing in disguise or otherwise. The curse will never be a blessing. Everybody say, the curse, is never a blessing. Now, you might think everybody knows that, but they don't. They don't. A lot of folk are calling the curse a blessing. I've had people argue with me in the hospital room and try to tell me that the curse was a blessing. Yeah, but I just believe this is a blessing in disguise. It's a blessing from the Lord in disguise. Yeah, but now if the Bible said it was a curse, it's no blessing. And the blessing comes because of obedience and because of faithfulness to God and His Word. The curse, Proverbs 26:2 says, the curse causeless shall not come. If the curse comes, there's a reason why the curse comes. And it's not because of obedience. If the curse comes, there's a reason why the curse comes. Basically, I could say it like this. Why does the curse come? Well, basically, because of sin. And if you just wanted to use one answer, why does the curse come? Well, sin. But now sin involves lots of things. When you say sin, a lot of times people's mind just go one direction and they miss a lot of things. Sin involves a lot of things. For instance, you know, 1 John, I believe it's chapter 3, verse 4, says that sin is the transgression of the law. You know, thou shalt not kill. Well, if you kill, you transgress, you broke the law. That's a sin. We know that. That's usually what people think about. But also the Bible says in James 4:17, him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I mean, there's some things that you don't do that could be sin. Right? And also, Romans tells us, Romans 14:23, that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So unbelief and doubt is sin. If you do something wondering and doubting and wavering, that's a sin, the Bible says. Everything you do, you should do in faith. Fully convinced that it's a blessing to God, it pleases Him, and a blessing and an asset to the people around about you. If you can't do it in faith, what's the answer? I said, if you can't do it in faith, what's the answer? Don't do it. Right? Should I do it or should I not do it? Are you in faith? If you're acting like that, you're not in faith. You're vacillating. You're wavering, you see. What should I do then? You don't do anything until you can do it in faith. Amen? Now that just solves a lot of problems in a lot of folks' life if they just get a hold. Is this wrong or is it not wrong? Some say it is, some say it's not. I just don't know if it's wrong or not, and you're doing it. I tell you this, you're in sin. Whether the thing, according to the Scriptures, is a sin or not, if you don't know and you're doing it anyway, then to you it is sin. That's what that whole chapter is talking about in Romans 14. Whatever you do, do it in faith. If you can't do it in faith, don't do it. And so we see that the curse comes because of people in sin. You know, basically people are sick because of either a lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge, or because of disobedience to walk in the light that they have. Basically those two reasons. They either don't know what their rights and privileges are, and that's not always, I mean, that doesn't mean that they're always, you know, free from any guilt, because a lot of times people should have known if they'd just done what God had told them to do. If they'd gone to church, if they'd read their Bible, if they'd have studied and prayed, they'd know. So still their fault. Are you listening? Now, it's not our job to judge people. It's not our job to fix the blame. It's our job to fix the problem. Amen? And if people haven't heard, we want to tell them. If they've missed God, we want to help them get right and get back into the place where they can receive the blessing of God. It is not our job to go around and try to pinpoint and say, yeah, well, you have this problem, and you have this problem, and you have this. We're not the judge. Besides that, you just don't know. There's a lot of times you just, why are people in the shape of that? You don't know, and a lot of times God's not going to tell you either, because it's none of your business. He may tell you on some instances if you can help somebody, but a lot of times you could pray, you could fast. I want to know why this person's like this. And I tell you, sometimes if you listen to God, He may just tell you it's none of your business. There's a reason why, all right, yes. But it may not be any of your business at all. How many are glad God's not a blabbermouth? He doesn't hang your dirty laundry out for everybody else to see. Besides that, if you ask Him to forgive you of something, and you receive His forgiveness, then you're washed by the blood. He forgives and He forgets. And He separates that from you as far as the east is from the west. And that's He's not going to tell anybody about it because He doesn't even remember it. Amen? Aren't you glad? And I'm telling you, He's not going to tell you everything you might be curious about somebody else and want to know. He's not going to tell you. There might be some situations He'd tell you and inform you and help you out so that you can help them, but there'll be a lot of situations. A lot of times people are just prying into things just because they're nosy, just because they're curious. That is certainly no good reason. I mean, we want to help people. That's the thing. We want to help people. And if you really want to help people, you're never interested in condemning somebody for something they've done. If they missed it, so what? You know, I've missed it too. Let's get it right. Let's get you in the blessing of God. And so the curse comes because of disobedience. It doesn't come just, you know, at random. Trouble, like you read the book of Job. Job said this, trouble doesn't just spring up out of the ground. You know, there's a reason. There is a reason. The curse, causeless, shall not come. Why does the curse come? Basically, if you just wanted to use one word, it comes because of sin. Sin's a lot of things. but basically because of sin. The curse is here because man sinned in the beginning, and it's here, and it's taking advantage of all who do not know their rights and privileges in Christ Jesus. But now I want us to go now. Well, first of all, let me read these scriptures to you, and then we'll go to these places. The curse, as we said, is never a blessing, and the curse is never a reward. God never gives the curse to somebody as a reward for doing good. Listen to these scriptures. Psalm 125, verse 3. For the rod of the wicked, or the punishment of the wicked, shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. The punishment of the wicked is not going to come on the righteous, God said, unless the righteous put forth their hands to do iniquity. See, if God perverts justice, I mean, how are we going to know what the difference between right and wrong? Verse 4 says, Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and unto them that are upright in their hearts, and as for such as turn aside into their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. Now, in Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, it says, verse 20, Jeremiah 18:20, Shall evil be recompensed for good? Well, no. God will not pervert justice. And some folk, I've heard folk go so far to say, you know, this curse has come on me. They didn't say it like this, but they say, this sickness is on me because I've been faithful and because God knew that everybody couldn't handle this kind of a thing. And I'm just showing His fortitude and His patience and His thing through this sickness and disease. And God gave this to me. And they want to act like it's a crown and it's a reward, like a medal that you'd hang on your chest because I'm such a stalwart and such a strong Christian. Friend, sickness is a curse. I said sickness is a curse. It does not come because you're a faithful and an obedient Christian. The curse comes because of what? Sin, disobedience, rebellion, not following God faithfully. Now sometimes people do things ignorantly because they walk in the flesh too much. You've done it, I've done it. Like I'm saying, we're not saying this to judge people and to point a finger at people and say, you know, you've missed it. We've all missed it. Sometimes you don't really understand what you do. You're doing things ignorantly because of a lack of knowledge. And so it's our job to help fix the problem, not the blame. But it is true that the curse causeless does not come. There's a reason why. But let's go back to Leviticus now. And I want us to look at two primary passages, Leviticus 26, and then we'll look at Deuteronomy 28. And these are the two major portions of Scripture that deal with the curse of the law in the Old Testament. Now, of course, you know the law was and is God's words and God's standard. He said, do this and do that and keep this and keep that and observe this and observe that. And that was his statutes, his ordinances, his commandments. And so there was a blessing for keeping God's law, for obeying God, and there was a curse for disobeying Him. Now, obviously, God wanted the blessing to come on His people because He told them, now, if you'd obey me, I'll do this for you, I'll bless you. If you don't obey me, this is what's going to happen to you, the curse. Now, if He wanted the curse to come on them, all He would have had to do is nothing. Right? Just do nothing. Let the folks sin. Let the curse come on them. If He wanted the curse on them, He wouldn't have had to say anything at all. But He obviously did not want the curse on the people because He told them how they could get the blessing and He warned them against disobeying Him lest this curse come on them. He didn't want them to be cursed. And He doesn't want you to be cursed today or any of the people to be cursed today. He wants the blessing to come on them. Couldn't be God's will for you to be sick because sickness is a part of the curse of the law. Notice, Leviticus 26. He said, verse 3, If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time. And you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. Hallelujah. I always like to stop here. Anytime you get to talking about this, man, you know you just stop and preach anywhere. And I always like to talk about prosperity and God's will right here. I said something earlier last week that if a lot of New Testament believers were walking in the fullness of the blessings under the old covenant, some of them would think they had died and gone to heaven. Because, I mean, under the old covenant, you could have prosperity, healing, long life, freedom from drought and famine and enemies and dread of fear of animals and, I mean, all kind of things under the old covenant. Wouldn't it have been nice to live back there? No, it's better to live here. We've got a better covenant established upon better promises, better. That means we got everything they had. Plus, you were listening, right? Plus. Amen. He said the threshing, in other words, when you harvest, that'll reach unto your vintage. And your vintage will reach unto sowing time. What does that mean? That means you're not going to run out between crops, right? I mean, your threshing is going to reach unto the vintage and the vintage to the sowing time. What you put up and set back is going to do you until you get to the new crop. Amen? How many of you ever found out sometimes it's hard to make that check reach from payday to payday? You know what I'm talking about? Listen, it not reaching is not part of the blessing. It's part of the curse. God says, I'll make your provision reach. Amen? I'll make it reach from one payday to the next payday, so to speak. You believe that? I mean, some of you need to claim this right here today. You need to say, yes, bless God. I claim that. Thank you, Father, for the wisdom. Thank you, Father, for leading me to the deals. Thank you for showing me how to make my money do what it's supposed to do. Amen? Glory to God. God will do it. He gave you His Word. When you know His will, you can believe Him for it. He also said this, I'll give you peace in the land. You shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. Fear is part of the curse of the law. You don't have to be afraid. And I will rid evil beasts. Well, let me just go back to that. If you lie down at night and you're afraid somebody's going to break in and do harm to you, you're afraid something's going to happen to you before you get up the next morning, you're living under the curse. Amen? That's right. You don't have to live under the curse. Christ hath redeemed you from the curse of the law. You can lie down in peace. Amen? And none shall make you afraid. Why? I got some big angels. Are you listening? Be conscious of your angels. When you lay down to go to sleep at night, you got a big sentry standing right there at your head. He's standing there. There you are, sleeping like a baby, snoozing away. And here this big, huge, celestial being standing there watching over you. That's his job. That's his God-ordained job. He follows you around like a shadow everywhere you go. The more aware that you become of him and the more faith you exercise in it, the more they can do for you. They're sent to minister for us who are heirs of salvation. So he's standing by you. Let's say somebody did try to break in. Somebody did try to do something to you. The fear came on you before you went to sleep. Oh, what if somebody breaks in? What if somebody does something to me? You just say, oh, I have no fear because the angel of the Lord encampeth round about those that fear him. Angel, and you kind of look over to the side. Angel, now you take care of me. It's your job. I charge you. Don't you let anything happen to me in Jesus' name. That's your job. I'm going to go to sleep. Now you take care of everything that needs to be taken care of. Good night. Let's say somebody's going to break in. So, you know, maybe they get in. Maybe they open the window or something, and they get in, and they come in, and they're going to do bodily harm to you. Just about time they get to you, here's this great big celestial being. You charged him in Jesus' name. He performs God's word. Just about time he gets in, or before he gets in, whichever the case might be. You know, somebody's snooping around your window, and they look in. They're going to get in. They're going to steal from you. Maybe they're going to hurt you. The angels walking around the house patrolling. See, your angel has angels, the Bible talks about. So you've got sentries outside, you see. And this guy's looking in. He's going to break into your house or something. This great big angel, you know, make about five of him, you know, as far as size is concerned. He just comes and leans over on him. He said, now see, he can't see him, but all at once he can feel a presence. He said, I wouldn't if I were you.
Now he can't, you know, the guy can't see anything, but all at once a fear falls on him. A dread falls on him. Oh, man, I don't like it around here. I believe I'll check some other place out. And he leaves. Why did that happen? It wasn't just a coincidence. Are you listening? The fear of the Lord came on him. Why? Because the angel of the Lord leaned on him and said, I wouldn't if I were you. You don't have to be afraid, is what I'm saying. You have every reason to be confident and to lie down in peace and to sleep. That's a different subject. Now notice, I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through the land. And you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. 5 of you shall chase 100, 100 shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you, I will make you fruitful, I will multiply you, I will establish my covenant with you. And you shall eat old store and bring forth the old because of the new. Hallelujah! How many of you are having to clean out your closets to make room for all the new clothes that are coming in? How many of you are having to clean out your cabinets, you know, to make room for the food and the new stuff, you know what I mean? It's nothing wrong with it, it's just old. It's just taking up space. You've got to get it out of the way. Get those old cars out of the garage so you can put the new ones in there. I tell you, some of you by faith might need to start making room for the new. Are you listening? Some of you need to clean your closets out. Yeah, you need to go in there and get a bunch. I don't mean to try to give somebody some old junk that you wouldn't wear. Just go in there and clean it out, though. And if you say, Lord, show me somebody I can bless with this. Help me, Lord. Show me somewhere I can sow some seed. And the devil says, hey, you need those clothes. You better hang on to those. That's doubt. That's unbelief. Make room for the new. Make room for the new. Give, sow, make room for the new. You know what will happen when you do that? God will bless you with new. New will come rolling in. Amen. You're just going to wait till it comes. Then you're going to make room for it. No, that's not faith. Faith makes room for the new. Amen. Now, don't just do something in the flesh. Be led by the Holy Ghost. But get this principle in your spirit. He said, I'll set my tabernacle among you. My soul shall not abhor you. I will walk among you. I'll be your God. You shall be my people. I'm the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt. You should not be their bondman, and I have broken the bands of your yoke and have made you to go upright. That's the blessing of keeping God's law. Isn't it good? Isn't it wonderful? But, verse 14, but, everybody say but. But if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that you break my covenant, I will also will do this unto you. In other words, these things that he's going to begin to enumerate and list now, they are happening to people because those people refuse to listen to God. They are bullheaded and strong-headed, going to do things their way, disobedient, rebellious. They actually despised God's words and refused to obey. That's why these things are going to happen to them. Not because they're good people, but because they're disobedient and rebellious. Right? What are some of the things he said? He said, I will appoint over you terror, consumption, the burning ague. They shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. Now notice, we're not going to read all the curse because it touches a lot of areas. We just want to zero in on this physical area. He said that you'll be cursed if you disobey God's law. You'll be cursed, among other things, with consumption. Well, consumption is tuberculosis. And with a burning ague. Now that has to do with fever, like malarial fever, things that happen with spasms and chills and things of that nature, those kind of fevers that'll consume your eyes and cause sorrow of heart. Verse 21 says, if you walk contrary unto me and don't hearken unto me, I'll bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins. Notice it goes on to say, verse 25, I'll send a pestilence among you. And it goes on to say that how that they will be cursed with sickness and disease. I think you can see from this passage, without looking into more detail, that sickness and disease came upon people as a curse. Right? This happened not to the people that obeyed God. It happened to the people that disobeyed God. This happened because of disobedience and rebellion and people despising God's ways and God's laws. Go with me to Deuteronomy 28 now. Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. And you know the story. Excuse me, not necessarily the story, but the principles here, just like we read in Leviticus 26, of how that if you would obey God, He said all these blessings will come on you. All these blessings will overtake you. Blessed shall you be in the city, the field, the fruit of your body, the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kind, the flocks of your sheep, your basket, your store. I mean, you'll be blessed. Blessed in every area of life. Blessed financially, blessed physically. And it said in verse 15, though, it shall come to pass if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Now this is going to happen to who? The disobedient, the rebellious, those who do not do what God tells them to do. Is this coming because they've been good obedient people? No. The curse comes because of disobedience and sin. You'll be cursed in the city, the field, the basket, the store, in your body, fruit of your land, increase of your kind, when you come in, when you go out. All these things, just the opposite of the blessing. But now notice verse 21, and I want you to be ready to take some notes, and I want you to be thinking about what we're saying here. Get a hold of some of these things. Verse 21, the Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until He have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. Now I'm going to read to you from a collection of translations to bring out some of these phrases that you find in the King James, because sometimes we read these and we don't apply them to present day sickness and disease. But it's talking about the same thing. Let me read some different translations to you. And you'll find that there's a leaflet on healing scriptures that we have in the church bookstore. As far as I know, we have it there just for a dollar or something. And you'll find some of these in it. It's a collection of different scriptures. And if you don't have one, you might want to pick one up. Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, verse 21, the Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee. Now, I'm not going to read all these, but they're, you know, all kind of translations. We're going to talk about Good News, Basic English, New World, Living, the Septuagint translation, Fenton, Young, Jerusalem, Smith, Goodspeed, Amplify. We're going to use a bunch of translations, just portions of them here and there. But I want you to, we're going to do it for the purpose of seeing the different words that are used so that we can relate and hook. I've seen many people healed while we preached on this subject. Are you listening? When they saw that what was wrong with them was specifically mentioned in the curse of the law, and then they realized that Christ hath redeemed me from the curse of the law, it just hit them. It went home to them. Amen? You'll find that the more specific you can be from the Word of God about a problem, then that's the easier people can relate and grasp hold of it, and the quicker they'll get into faith about it. When you speak in vague generalities and terminology, a lot of times people have more trouble getting a hold of it, you see. But the more specific you can be, and the Bible, where the Bible is specific, be specific. Use it. Amen. And the Bible is specific about sickness and disease here. It mentions many by name and problem. Now notice, pestilence means disease after disease. Two or three translations say that, disease after disease. Verse 22, the Lord shall smite thee with a consumption. So let's back up to verse 21. Let's just act on this, because I want you to get this in your spirit so that you do this when you go out and teach. Everybody say, I've been redeemed from disease after disease. All right, verse 22. Says, the Lord shall smite thee with a consumption. Now, the word consumption, as we already said, that means tuberculosis, our infectious diseases, our wasting disease. Everybody say, according to Deuteronomy 28, 22, tuberculosis is a part of the curse of the law. And according to Galatians 3:13, I've been redeemed from tuberculosis. I'll never have tuberculosis. Because I've been redeemed from tuberculosis. Amen. Glory to God. And with a fever. Now this word fever means, where it says fever here, it means different kinds of fever like we're talking about. And it goes on to say inflammation, which includes, the Septuagint translation says, cold. Amen. Everybody say, thank God.
Thank God.
I've been redeemed from the cold. I don't have to have colds.
I'm redeemed
from colds. Amen. Let it sink down inside you. Get a hold of it with your spirit. Amen. It also says infections. Where it says inflammation, that means infections. You know, a lot of times we just put up with things. We don't have to. Do you know that? Now, among infections, did you know that included in infections and inflammatory problems would be things like arthritis and different rheumatoid problems where the joints swell up and get inflamed and there's excruciating pain? Everybody say, I've been redeemed
from infections
of all kinds. Infections
have no right in my body.
Cursed are all infections. I rebuke them in Jesus' name.
I
am healed
of all infections.
I'm redeemed
from all infections.
How many infections?
All.
Okay. I tell you, a lot of folk are going to receive healing while we do this. I just tell you that right now. If you've been needing some healing in an area, now's the time to get it. Now's the time to get it. We've been redeemed from infections. It says also with an extreme burning. Now, one translation says, for extreme burning, it says influenza, sunstroke, and some other things. Thank God I've been redeemed from the flu, and I've been redeemed from sunstroke. Everybody say,
I've been redeemed
from extreme burning.
From the flu,
from sunstroke,
hallelujah.
Now it says, goes on to say in verse 22, blasting. One translation says, for blasting it says blight. And it goes on to say mildew. Now mildew is an interesting word in the Old Testament. I mean, it is translated a whole bunch of ways. The Hebrew word that's translated mildew is also translated just a whole bunch of things. Now, you'll find that the Fenton translation for mildew has jaundice. And the Septuagint agrees with that, which is the Greek version, you know. It says paleness. How many of you know what jaundice is? A lot of times if you have, especially like an internal disease, like cancer or something like that, you'll have jaundice. Like, for instance, yellow jaundice. It affects the pigment of the skin, and there'll be yellow in the eyes, and the skin sometimes will just turn yellow because of disease and because of sickness. You have been redeemed from jaundice. You've been redeemed from paleness. Amen. Everybody say,
I've been redeemed
from jaundice
of all types
and from paleness
due to sickness.
Hallelujah, I have been. Glory to God. Is that good? Verse 27 says, the Lord will smite thee, in other words, the curse, with the botch of Egypt. Now, you wouldn't have to know too much to know you don't want the botch of Egypt, right? I mean, it just doesn't sound good, does it? The botch of Egypt. Yuck. I don't want that. I know I don't want that. I don't have to know that much about it. But one very outstanding translation says, for that inflammatory disease. Another says, ulcers, sores, and boils. Everybody say,
thank God.
I've been redeemed
from inflammatory disease
and from ulcers
and from
sores and from boils.